Well, last Sunday, by God's grace, we spoke about keep watch and be ready for the return of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. And today, we're going to continue in the same way, because it's very important before that day arrives for each and every one of us to be ready. Sometimes when I go to Africa, now I'm looking back to the whole experience, and when I'm coming back to Europe, the kind of preparation I do, it's easy when I'm coming back. But when I'm going, it's a bit difficult, because I have to bear in mind the kind of way to take there. It's a limited one. And usually I find myself with a lot of things to take over, though I have about just 20 kilos to carry. And usually what happens, the day of traveling arrives, I'm not ready. Although I've been buying stuff earlier than that, months earlier I was buying stuff to take. At the end I found myself with a lot of things, and the choice became difficult. I don't know what to take and what to leave. In 2007, fortunately, I went to the airport with a friend. I found myself with an excess of 13 kilos. The friend took those 13 kilos back. But it was tough. I had to decide there and then what to leave, which is not easy. And that is the lack of good preparation. Because when you prepare yourself very well from home, you can make all the precautions and make sure that what you take into the airport is what you need. You don't have excess luggage. In 2005, I paid for 9 or 12 kilos, which was the excess luggage. I paid £100.59, which was a lot of money. At that time, when you exchange that amount of pounds, you get the double. So it was about $300. Which is a lot of money in Africa, especially to the community that I was going to minister to. And when I got there, I realized that it was better to leave those excess luggages and bring the money. The same thing happened to us spiritually. We are living in this world, but the world does not belong to us. A beautiful city is waiting for us. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place. Where I am, that's where my servant has to be. He wants to prepare a place for me and you, and he wants us to be ready. When he returns, we must be found ready. Found ready. But if we carry excess luggages, it will be difficult for us to abort in the flight. We can be left behind because of our excess luggage. Many Christians are facing all kinds of challenges, and those challenges can be considered as an excess luggage. And that excess luggage makes you to be unprepared, makes you to be not ready, although you are meant to be ready when He comes. For some, the excess luggage is pride. I gave my life to Jesus when I was only 17 of age, and my zeal for the Lord was really high. My passion for the lost was at the top, because at that age, I understood that the church's priority is to find the lost, because that is the priority of Jesus. We're going to read about it in a few minutes. Day and night, I was breathing about how to find the lost and to win them. I was blessed yesterday because I spent the whole day with Leon and David from Molby. And as we were talking, even when I came to drop Leon, I told him and Melanie about this job that the Lord has allowed me to get, and I'm starting tomorrow. Praise God. And we had two perceptions, two views. I was looking at the time. I have only 1 hour per day. But I'm going to be paid as some people who are working 8 hours per day. So I have plenty of time to look after my kids, plenty of time to do my studies because I'm planning to do a master's course, or plenty of time to get a second job. In the meantime, Leon's view was the kind of people I will be working with, the environment in which I'll be working in. I was looking at that freedom I have, money, time, and everything. And he was looking at souls, because about 90% of my colleagues, and even the children themselves, because he's a school, are Muslims, Arabs. So he was talking about winning them, witnessing to them. And I was looking at that easy ride ahead, how I'm going to manage to pay my bills and everything. We had two views. And that's what happens very often to many people in the body of Christ, and to many churches as well. Are we looking at things the same way Jesus is looking at them? What we consider as priority, is it the priority for Him? The example I just gave, my priority was different from Leon's priority. May God help us. Our first reading today is in Psalm 139. Psalm Praise God. I'm going to read two verses, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Another translation is saying, search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked or hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Heavenly Father, we need you. We need you now more than any other time in our life. We know that the world we're living in is falling down. Wickedness is applauded. Evil ways applauded. We don't want to be mixed up in this kind of way of seeing and judging things, because we believe that we are a people called by you and set apart to live the kind of life Jesus you lived here on earth. You say that we are the salt of this world, we are the lamp of this world. In many instances, Lord, we are failing to portray that image, to be that soul, to be that lamb. But this evening, Father, we are in your presence knowing that only few minutes in your presence, your glory can transform our characters. Your glory can transform our worldviews. Your glory can transform our hearts, our lives. Help us, Lord, tonight. Help us now, Father, to understand your heart and to do your will. Because alone we are unable to do and to produce any good fruit, O Lord. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. David's desire was to be closer to the Lord. And here, he's asking the Lord to search him. He was talking to the one who is able to read the mind, to read the desires. Nothing is hidden before our God. And David knew that. But look at him, he's giving entree to the Lord, access to the Lord, telling him that, search me. Search me thoroughly and know my heart. I believe David could sing that song that we sang about our hearts. His heart belonged to the Lord. Because if you know that your heart is full of wicked ways, you can't ask God to search your heart. You must have a certain amount of righteousness in you. And sometimes you go down on your knees, willing to confess sins, you search your heart and you realize that you have nothing tangible to hold and present to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me because I have gossiped. Forgive me because I've been proud.
get to that point. But knowing that when you live in a life of holiness, you can get to that point. But knowing that you're still a human being, you can miss to see something, then the courage can be there to say, Lord, search my heart. Search my heart thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. This is the kind of prayer we have to do. It's a kind of prayer of a person who's keeping watch and doing all it's under his or her power to be ready. Living a life that is pleasing God. It's never an easy ride. There is always a price to pay. But wherever there is a will, there is a way as well. Once we make ourselves available, the Lord can change our heart. The Lord can perform transformations that a theological Bible college cannot provide. A beautiful, modern mega church cannot provide. Try me and know my thoughts. I'm really challenged by this verse. Searching my heart, looking at my thoughts. I gave you an example. I found a job and I said, praise the Lord. Prayers of saints are answered. All those who have been backing me up with the prayers, praying for my finances. Many Sundays you prayed for my finances here. So I looked and saw that all those accumulated prayers are answered finally. And I start to imagine how I'm going now to enjoy the ride. Live an easy life without any worry of bills. I didn't think about those souls. Even though at the interview, I presented my identity, telling them I'm a man of God, knowing that it's a Muslim populated community. I wanted them to know who I am in the Lord, and that can help me to watch out. The way I speak, the way I walk, the way I behave. Because when you hide your identity in the community where you are, it's a danger to you. You can allow yourself to do silly things that will not help you. And all the time you're going to pass in that community will be a waste, because you won't be able to win even one soul. So talking to Leon, it was a wake-up call that, Dharma, open your eyes, you are on a mission. You are on a mission. Everything that will come is just a bonus. But you are there to witness to them. Of course, I have to comply with the rules and regulations of this country. It's not a church for me to open my mouth and start saying whatever I want to say. My character, my actions have to speak louder than my words. May the Lord help me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Look at this desire, this heart, asking God to lead him in that everlasting way. I was invited to a concert which started on Friday. My heart did not allow me to go there. Because every time when I go there, everything is attracting people's attention to money, to become millionaires, as I mentioned last Sunday. So I didn't want to pollute my heart with those kind of views, that kind of perception. I have a race to run and to win. I have to walk in that everlasting way. And I need good nourishment for my soul. The second verse is going the same lines in the New Testament, Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 is like a blueprint of repentance chapter, like we have other chapters in the Bible that focus only on love or on another subject. This one is focusing on repentance. Luke chapter 15, verse 1 to 10. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Jesus was a people person, very approachable, simple. He went beyond the boundaries of the Pharisees and scribes, those who considered themselves to be men of God, were keeping a certain standard. And you could see it in the garment they were wearing, the postures they were taking in public. Like many of us, we create a myth, we create something that can define a standard. And everything we do will be done according to that standard we have created for ourselves. I was born in a country where dressing up matters more than anything else. Being that kind of culture, I didn't realize that I was also affected by the culture. At a certain time, I found myself doing a business of selling things from Italy and China. And all the stuff that were coming were designer stuff. And somehow, I was caught into dressing designer stuff. I couldn't put a suit on my body which is not a designer suit. I couldn't put a socks on my feet which is not a designer one. That was my standard. And then one day, I realized that I was so stupid. How can I measure my standard to things like this? I'm a child of God. Born again. My standard is found in Jesus. Without him, I'm nothing. Wearing or dressing smart or casually, my standard in him remains the same. Jumping, sitting, shouting, or keeping quiet, my standard in him remains the same. Is not conditioned by what I'm wearing or what I'm eating. But somehow, due to the community I was in, I created like everybody else, like Mr. Everybody, a standard into clothing. And I thank God because he has delivered me, brought me back to the reality. Jesus was found eating, talking with sinners. He got criticized. He was doing things not according to what the opinion will say. Many Christians, we're doing things according to what people will say. So we tend to please people than pleasing God. He knew in advance that the Pharisees will gossip against him, will judge him. But that could not affect him to approach the sinner. He did. He approached the sinners. He ate with them because he was on mission like me and you. We are on mission. Wherever we are, in schools, at work, anywhere we are on a mission to reach out to the sinners and win them to the Lord. But in relation to last Sunday's message, if we are not living a life of watching for the coming of the Lord Jesus and doing all is under our power to be ready, to be found ready, we won't pay attention also to sinners who live around us. We won't. Deep can call thee. If you are not preparing yourself for the coming of the Lord Jesus, why should you bother to call the sinners to repent and go to that place? No. The momentum will not be there. That spontaneity will not be there. Because ourselves, we are not passionate to be ready. So the passion of winning the lost will not be there as well. You see now the link that exists between those two things. Whenever you're doing all you can to get ready, the passion will be created in you to win other people who still lost. Let's break down the first parable, and we can even stop on that one. The first one is talking about a shepherd who have a small farm of 100 sheep. And Jesus asked a question, saying, which one among us can own 100 sheep? And when he realized that one of them is lost, will not go out, seek for that lost sheep, and return only when he has managed to find it, bring it back home. Look the kind of image Jesus is presenting about the value, the importance of a lost soul. A soul is very important. On the eyes of God, a soul, a lost soul, is a priority. He is the good shepherd. He can't sleep knowing that one of his sheep is wandering in the cold out there. One of the sheep is lost. Now Jesus lives in me and you. Living in me and you does not degrade the same priority, the same passion he showed when he was physically walking here on earth. Now it's time for me and you to ask ourselves, what value do we give to a lost soul in our respective families? In our place of work, at university, in our neighborhood. When we look at a lost soul, what do we feel deep inside? Are we cool? We feel nothing? They are living their lives, we are living our lives. Everybody is minding his or her own business. Or Jesus, who lives in us, is causing us to feel sorry for those lost souls, to feel the pain deep inside, and to be compassionate for them. And that compassion is creating in us passion to win them, to witness to them. I spoke to a beloved yesterday, and she expressed a deep compassion that is burning in her heart about the salvation of her mother. She has made few attempts to win her mother. But I could see how she's breathing in and out that desire to see her mother committed fully to the Lord and be saved. May the Lord remember her and visit her mother for good and save her mother. It's the same passion we all are meant to have for not only our family members, but for this community. We gather here every Sunday. We have to do something for the community surrounding our building. Have compassion for them, because many among them are lost. As a proof, we have a mosque there. Although we do pray for them, but we have now to pray compassionately and passionately, do something. If it takes to knock at the doors, let us do it. Now, I want to draw our attention to something. Jesus is saying that the shepherd leaves behind 99 sheep to go out, seek, and find the one which is lost. But he mentioned that the 99 are the righteous ones, those who need not repentance. When you give your love to Jesus, there and then, he calls you a saint. Because you made the first step to follow him. The first step in the way of everlasting, the way of righteousness. He considers you as a righteous person. Although you are a new believer, maybe you're still struggling with smoke. Maybe you're still struggling with alcohol. Maybe you're still struggling with sexual immorality. Maybe you're struggling with violence. But he dare to call you a saint, because he can see who in few coming days, months, or years you're going to become. But you have to collaborate with him to get where he wants you to be. He confessed that you are a saint, you are a righteous, before he starts breaking you, pulling down all the things that are holding you back to the world. And at that moment, no one can condemn you before him, because on his eyes, you are righteous. Every small effort you produce to walk in righteousness, he applauds it. And the more you are willing to become that righteous person he called you to be, he will give you the power to become one. Try to look back. The kind of things that you are no longer bounded to. Things that in the past you were slave to. How did you manage to leave those kind of wickedness? No, it wasn't by your strength. It was that glory of God, that grace of God. Simply because you said, Lord, here I am. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I want to follow you. I want to serve you. Do with my life whatever you want. Start breaking, throwing away what is not pleasing him. But still, we have maybe a long way to go. Now, I want to look at the reality today. Pastor, you went, was it a holiday? Or a retreat? I want to give this example. Jesus said, the shepherd, or the master, he goes out leaving the 99 behind. He didn't have any worry at all about those 99. He knew that they won't eat each other. They won't kill each other. Because they are righteous. And with peace he went to seek for the one that was lost. Pastor, if you knew that we're going to eat each other here,
Would you go for those 2 weeks? Although there are some ministers out there, they can't leave the church like that. Because they know once they give them, they turn their back, it's a disaster. When they come back, the church will be empty. Because those who left there were not righteous shepherds or sheep. They were eating each other, killing each other. But I think you went in peace because you have confidence in the leaders you left us. May God bless you, leaders. Can we give a round of applause for our leaders? Trust. It doesn't just come from heaven and fall down, boom. No. You have to earn trust. Before the leader trusts you, you have to earn it. But what you do? He left knowing that although he won't be there, but our youth will conduct us in worship and everything will be okay. So over there he could pray, he could do whatever he wants to do. He knew that the leaders will conduct the service and do all the stuff. And that's what Jesus was talking about. Leaving the 99 who need not repentance. Now, let us be sincere. In our generation, what is going on in the church? Are we seeking for the one lost? A big question mark. Secondly, Jesus, the real shepherd, is always out there, out of these four walls, looking for the lost. But what is now happening in the church? I'm not talking just about this local church. I'm talking about the church as a whole. What is today what Jesus is seeking for the lost? The church is doing as the 99 righteous. What are we doing? Many are too busy in our own programs. Let me talk about our church. Soon we'll be leaving this place and move to our own building. Our own building. Where if you want a week fasting prayer to lock yourself, you'll have your own room in our new building and spend your time with the Lord. And now, many churches are very busy, preoccupied by a project like this one that we have in this church. Buy a new building. Take the church over from the traditional way of worshiping, of doing things, to the new way of doing things according to the 21st century. The kind of worship, happy, clappy, jumpy, and all those stuff, have a wide screen there where no one is needed to stand here, that on Wednesday we have Bible study. Everything is already there, like in the cinema and everything. Very busy to reach that standard of a 21st century church. While the shepherd is out there seeking and looking for the lost, we are busy
with things that he didn't ask to be busy with. In our personal lives, very busy. While the shepherd is already out looking for the lost, we are thinking about our own stuff. I have a cousin. The day he's going to get £1 million, the whole world will know that he's got £1 million. Because always he talks Porsche kind of life. Range Rover. Full option. A big mansion. With this and that. But when the thought of £1 million comes to my mind, I look at those poor kids. People who are living in places without proper facilities. How I can transform the whole community. Building for them. New houses, putting facilities and everything. But him, he's thinking about that last range of Range Rover. Yeah, he's free. He's free. Because that is what is inside is producing. It's the same with what we're doing in churches. Busy. In our own lives. Busy. And what the Lord is looking and saying, when are you going to stop to be busy for your own small life and think big about that lost soul in your family, that lost soul that used to be your friend, that lost soul next to you? When are you going to stop thinking only about yourself? He's always out there seeking for the lost one. We have to catch his mind and to do likewise. Because the price of a lost soul costed a divine blood. He's waiting for me and you to make that move. But believe me, you won't have that facility in your soul, in your spirit, in your mind to look for the lost one if you're not thinking about leaving this world and go to meet the Lord. You won't. If you are not watching for his return and you are not preparing yourself to be found ready, you won't think about the lost one. Now is the time to look at our priorities. To look at our priorities. To reshape them. If you have lost the passion for the lost, it's time to go back to the Lord and ask him that passion. You have to prepare yourself. I was talking to this lady, and she was telling me about this other lady they prayed together there in London, who used to be married, but somehow the marriage was broken, and now she has defined her life the way she wants it. Say, you know, me, when I need a baby, I just go back to my ex-husband and I get the baby. The baby is a blessing. I don't mind if people talk. I just go there, I get my baby. So, when they were divorced, they had 2 children. Now they have 6 children. And she doesn't care about what people can say. It's okay. You discipline yourself, not caring about what people will say, but what the Lord is saying. Is he good?
after divorce to have intercourse with the ex? Is it acceptable on the eyes of the Lord? So, what intrigued me was that this lady, she's very committed in her church. Very committed. But whatever the Bible is talking about, fornication, adultery or stuff like those, that is not for her. Because she's got a new vocabulary. It's a blessing. When I go there, I go to get my blessing, the baby. We all know that sexual relation out of marriage is not a way of preparing ourselves for the coming of the Lord. One of the American preachers said that many Christians are going to miss heaven because of sex. I pray that the Lord help us. I was looking at my personal life since my divorce. All kind of temptations in that respect which came to me. How, by God's grace, of course, I resisted. And to be true with myself, I said, if only my ex came and pressed the button, maybe I could be knocked down. Because she knows me more than any other woman out there. She knows my weaknesses. She knows my feeling. It's only by God's grace that we can overcome. Now, some people are busy because of flesh desires. When it comes to that, you understand, they can't resist. They just close the Bible. They say, God, we will understand. Like this man who was discussing with a Muslim. He couldn't convince the Muslim because the Muslim had a lot of argument. And when he came back, he was talking with Evangelist Jolie, the one who came with me. And he told him, Papa, I will speak with Jesus. Jesus, he can forgive. So, he is a guy who doesn't control himself. His libido is everywhere. So, because of that, every time he fall down into it, he confess, he believes that the Lord has forgiven, and tomorrow he continue, after tomorrow he continue. Now, that the Jesus is worshipping who can forgive. Because whenever he's sinning, Jesus can forgive. Taking pleasure on sinning and getting forgiveness. It's not the Jesus we worship in here. Some people, it's not about that. It's about money. Very obsessed about money. And they can do anything for money. They can work long shifts, long hours, even 14 hours per day to earn money. And that in itself, though working is not a sin, but it becomes a kind of preoccupation which is diverting the attention to keep watch and be prepared. Because everything that is turning in the heart is money. Like I said about my cousin, it's all about car. That kind of posh life. Have his own place, very big like the Hollywood star. Have, that is what is turning in his mind. And that can hinder him to
get prepared and to think about the lost.
Same wise, many churches thinking about their own program to catch up with those who supposedly have reached the 21st century standard, and they forget to prepare themselves. Sanctification messages disappear from the pulpit, and everything is about just people to come anyhow they are, even though they live any kind of life they want to live. But let us be many. The more we are, the more money will come in, and the more money are in, we're going to achieve all those big projects and be counted as a great church in our neighborhood, in our city. We're closing there. My prayer today is that the Lord help us. As I said in introduction, each and every one of us has a certain excess luggage, a spiritual excess luggage. Let this moment be the deciding moment for me to ask God to search my heart and reveal to me what is my excess luggage, and ask Him to deliver me, to drop that excess luggage for me to fly like an eagle, to walk and not be weary, to allow Him to carry me on His shoulders and bring me home, by emptying my heart from all carnality, fleshly desires that are holding me back, hindering me to keep watch, to get prepared, to be ready, consequently, not to think about the lost. What is your excess luggage? What is your excess luggage? This message is not delivered to us to condemn me or you. No. It's not coming to condemn anybody here. But just to call us to repentance. To call us to the Lord. We have to make ourselves available and manifest the desire to change. Then we'll be able to value the one lost soul. What is your excess luggage? What is my excess luggage? Let's stand and pray. Pastor, would you please come and pray for us? As a church, we need the Lord to just pour His glory in these few minutes in the midst of us and transform our lives and help us to drop all kind of excess luggage. Thank you, Pastor.
Praise God. I listened to the message last week. That you had last week and listened to today. And some of you who were in earlier may have seen the minister that was here from the Methodist Church. Even in his own heart there's a hunger and a burning to move forward, to reach out for souls. And one of the things he said about this place, that he did not want this place just to be a place where anybody just wants to come in and do what they want. He really wanted it to be focusing on Christian principles. He's fighting a battle. Other people are bringing excess luggage along. He's pushing the other way. And we were encouraging him, and he said, you know, he didn't want this place to close down, because if this place closed down and it was sold, the first people to try and buy it would be the Muslims. And he's so mad about that, he's quite infuriated. But do you know why the nation is going like this? It's because our excess baggage. We're not focused on the things of God. We're not focused on Jesus. We're focused on our things. And our problem is that we focus on our future. And I don't, you know, we have to have a future. But the problem is we make a narrow focus point. We use a telephoto lens or a microscope and we focus just on that small amount. Your future, my future, affects or can affect many, many people. Is that right? You can affect many people. And God wants you and I to begin to refocus our lives and begin to look at where we are. Get rid of the excess baggage that stops you doing the things that God wants you to do. The first question today is, has God ever given a call on your life? No matter what age you were, has God spoken to you and called you to minister for Him? Think about it for a moment. If He has, it's still not too late.
Amen.
Still not too late. You're still alive. You're still seeking God. Are you here because God wants you to fulfill your calling here? Are you here because God wants you to bring you alongside others, to bring your strength and their strength together, and to move forward in the things of God, and to push aside some of our excess baggage? It's so easy to get caught up with clutter. Everybody knows in the house they have to have a declutter session occasionally, don't they? Got to get rid of this. We need to declutter our Christianity. We need to declutter our lifestyles and be available for what God has for us. Let me tell you this, you're never going to be short when you're walking with God. You're never going to go without when you're walking with Jesus. You're never going to miss the good things in life when you're walking in the life of Christ. I know it, I've done it, I'm doing it. And I want to declutter some of my life so that I'm yet even more available for the things of God. I want to get myself completely in sync and in tune with the things of God. And I believe God is calling this church, this body of believers, this group of people. Why? Because each and every one of you has got an anointing. Each and every one of you has got something to give. The question is, are you prepared to give it? You know, the Word of God tells us that withholding tendeth to poverty. God wants you to give. We're not asking for money. We're asking for you. God's asking for you. He's not asking for your money, because we know that tomorrow the banks can be totally broke. Everything can go down the pan. And guess what? Everybody's in the same boat. But I'll tell you something else. If you've got Jesus at the helm of your boat, you're in a different boat to anybody else. And you're going in a different direction, and you have a different purpose and a different plan in your life. And we need to start looking at it and saying, okay, where am I going with this? And so today, I believe the message, and last week there's the challenge. What are you going to do? I'm going to bring it right down. What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do about your own lifestyle with Jesus? Most of you have got this far because of Jesus. Don't lose Him. Don't leave Him now. Don't lose Him. Don't leave Him now. Because I'll tell you what, without Him, I am nothing. Without Him, I am nothing. Let's pray.